Now, as gunshots echo across the wind-swept, snow-covered reaches of the wild Northwest, Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice, the breakfast cereals shot from guns, present Sergeant Preston of the Yukon. It's Yukon King, swiftest and strongest lead dog of the Northwest, blazing the trail for Sergeant Preston of the Northwest Mounted Police in his relentless pursuit of lawbreakers.
On King! On, you Huskies!
Gold. Gold discovered in the Yukon. A stampede to the Klondike in the wild race for riches. Back to the days of the gold rush. With Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice bringing you the adventures of Sergeant Preston and his wonder dog, Yukon King, as they meet the challenge of the Yukon.
There's no one that can make a better cereal than Quaker Puffed Rice. It's nice. And when you hear that shooting, you're darn tootin' that Quaker makes the ones shot from guns.
And say, fellas and girls, what a super idea for breakfast tomorrow morning. Yes, a heaping bowl full of the ones shot from guns. Quaker Puffed Rice or Quaker Puffed Wheat. Then cover them with milk or thick, rich yellow cream. Top them with sliced bananas or other fruit. And man, oh man, the very sight of it makes your mouth water. So get ready for that super treat. Get delicious, crisp, Quaker Puffed Rice and Quaker Puffed Wheat on your mom's shopping list right away. When the ship Mary D. was wrecked in a summer storm in the Arctic Ocean, among the 15 survivors who found safety on an island were two fugitives from American justice, traveling as sailors. They were Jack McDowell and Huff Davis. Unable to cope with the immediate situation, they joined their fellow seamen, all of whom had said prayers of thanksgiving for their deliverance. First Mate Clark spoke to the group.
Shores of Yukon territory must be about 50 miles south of where we are. In 2 months, this whole sea will be a mass of ice. But in 2 months, we'll be dead unless we do something about our situation.
Yeah. What can we do, Clark?
A lot of things, Jackson. We've already seen that some of the food supplies have been washed ashore.
That's right. There's boxes of arm tack and pemmican off the beach, I bet.
I know. And then we must get all the wood and metal possible from the wreckage we salvage. It'll be washing up on this beach for days to come.
Yeah. Think we can build a seaworthy boat before the summer's over, Clark?
We must, therefore we will. And we work every hour of the day, all of us.
That means you, McDowell. And you too, Davis.
Yeah. If you don't work, you don't leave with us. You're no good, either of you.
Too bad they didn't try.
Mercy, here, you scurvy little punk.
Now, McDowell! That goes for the rest of you, too. Lay off, McDowell and Davis.
When the ship was foundering, they weren't helping to save it.
Right.
I saw Davis in the captain's quarters going through his strongbox.
That's a filthy lie. You step out and I'll bash your head in. Come on.
Davis, get back. Jack can see that he does.
Back, Davis. Lay off that stuff, Patty.
I'm just saying what I saw.
Maybe I did see Davis stealing from the captain's strongbox. That's something we'll take up after we reach the mainland. Right now, we've got to stick together. All of us.
Working together and using wood and metal salvaged from the wrecked Mary D., the survivors completed the seaworthy open boat before the summer was over.
Boys, we've done it. There's only a little food left, but it'll last us long enough, let's hope. We'll set out for the mainland in the morning. Now get plenty of sleep.
Late that night, while their toil-worn shipmates slept the sleep of exhaustion, Jack McDowell and Huff Davis crept silently to the spot where the food supplies were kept.
You're dead to the world, Huff, but be careful.
Hey, don't worry about me. Let's hurry up.
The two men moved a goodly part of the food supplies to the boat. Less than an hour's time, they entered the boat and rowed off into the Arctic Sea. Using the stars as their guide, they steered their course southward toward the Yukon shores. Days passed. Guided by the sun and stars, the two crooks made their way to the shores of the Yukon Territory. 3 days later, the two men met two Indians crossing a marshy wasteland. The Indians, surprised, gave directions in sign language and shared some of their food with the derelicts. McDowell and Davis repaid the kindness by attacking and overcoming the Indians.
Don't let them get away.
Not there you are.
Right, you.
The Indians, taken by surprise, were knocked out before they could defend themselves. McDowell looked at the two of them as they lay on the ground.
Don't kill them. They're in no shape to make trouble. We'll just tie them up and leave them. Some other Indians will probably pick them up later on.
They haven't got much to eat in these sacks of theirs.
Well, it gives us more than we had before.
Yeah. Hey, you want some now?
Yeah. You know, we had a... Hey, Huff, you feel that?
Yeah. It's snow. Hey, Jack, what is this? It's still summer.
Yeah, but this is the Arctic. This isn't good, Huff. We have no sleds or snowshoes. Never mind the eats now. We got to get started south.
2 weeks passed. 2 weeks in which the early snows covered the ground north of the Klondike. Sergeant Preston and his sled and dogs, heading toward the Pelly River, approached the isolated cabin of Joe LaRoche. Joe, a hunter and trapper, had continued to seek and find otter long after the Russians had given up that once valuable pursuit.
Looking! Okay. Hiya, Huskies! Hola!
The Frenchman was standing in the doorway, waving his arms in happy salute as King rushed from the sled to give a happy greeting to the man.
Oh, my friend King. Hello, hello, you wonderful dog.
King's glad to see you again, Joe.
Oui,
so
oui.
Am I. How are you?
Oh, Sergeant, what a pleasure. How good to shake your hand once more. And how nice to pat the fur of an animal who is a friend instead of a quarry.
Judging by the furs I see from here, you're having a fine season, Joe.
The best, Sergeant. The best ever. How stupid those Russians were to go away and leave all these otter for Joe LaRoche to capture. How stupid, and how good for me.
How's your wife? Well, I hope.
Oh, Sergeant, she too has never been better. But come inside and meet her. She will not say much. But you will see by her eyes that she is happy to greet her friend in the red coat. Come in, come in. Oh, Annie. Annie, look, Annie. Two friends have come to say hello.
Annie, Joe's wife, was a Siwash Indian, beautiful in her way and very shy. She greeted Sergeant Preston with a timid smile and downcast eyes.
Annie, say hello to the sergeant. Then we cook for him the good salmon which only today I have caught myself. Say hello, Annie.
Hello, mon sergent.
You're looking well, Mrs. LaRoche. You talk more and more like Joe each time I see you.
Oh.
That is funny, no? She talk English more like French than she talk it like Siwash. So you think she look good now, eh, sergent?
I meant what I said, Joe.
Oh, sure. But when October come, then you should see how she look. Wee, how wonderful she will look. How happy, too, will I look. Wee, how wonderful.
Well, what's going to happen then, Joe?
I am give up this life. No more will Joe LaRoche seek the fur. When the fur merchant in Sitka buy my beautiful skins, Joe LaRoche will be a rich man. Then I'll retire. My Annie and me, we live like king and queen. Huh, Annie? Oh, when she giggle like that, she mean yes. Annie, you start for to cook that fish for the sergeant, huh? Oh, when she giggle like that, that means she gets salmon ready.
Sergeant Preston dined with Joe LaRoche and his wife, then prepared to leave.
I'm heading for the post at Pelly, Joe. I'll be back in 2 or 3 weeks. If you haven't set out for White Horse and Sitka by then, I'll see you.
Oh, you promise that, sergeant. We look for you.
I promise, Joe. Up front, King.
All right, on King! On, you husky!
Meanwhile, as Sergeant Preston continued his journey, two men, unknown to him, sat in the shelter of a small cave they had found a few miles to the west. Jack McDowell, shivering, looked out at the snowdrifts piled up a short distance away.
Hey, Huff. Snow or no snow, we can't stay here any longer. We'll be shut in tight by the dress. We'll never get out. You know, it's a good thing we took those furs from the Indians. Else we'd be goners by now.
Yeah. As soon as I rub my feet a bit, we get out of this trap and head south again. I'll be ready in a few minutes.
At the Northwest Mounted Post in Pelly a week later, Sergeant Preston saw the bodies of the two Indians carried in and placed on the floor. Constable Hall reported.
It's murder. The two of them were tied hands and feet and left lying where I found them. Another day and the snow would have covered them.
Who would have done a thing like that?
White men, certainly. That's not an Indian trick.
Constable, were there any clues? Any trail near the bodies?
None. You're thinking of something, Sergeant. I can tell you are whenever you squint your eyes like that. You have some idea about this?
Only faintly. I was thinking about that report you showed me a few days ago, the one Constable Henry brought down from the Circle Base.
About the men that were picked up on Far Island?
That's right. Two of their comrades stole their boat, they said, and their food, heading for Yukon's shores.
You think those two might have done this?
Why not? Men who would do what they did to their shipmates are capable of any rotten thing. Constable, I'm starting south at once. If those men are still alive, I'll find them. What are their names?
McDowell and Davis.
McDowell and Davis, eh? Constable, if they're alive, I'm going to get them.
We'll continue our adventure in just a moment.
Hey, wake up! Come and get them! They're shot from guns!
Hey, I was asleep. What's going on? Who's shooting up the place?
Why, don't you Yukon lumberjacks know that's one of the best alarm clocks there is?
But I heard gunshots.
Yes, sir. For a real wake-up breakfast this morning, you're getting the swell-tasting cereal Shot from Guns.
Huh?
Take your choice of Quaker Popped Wheat or Quaker Popped Rice. You see, we load huge guns with choice sun-ripened premium grains of rice or wheat. Then they're exploded. Out come big, giant grains 8 times normal size. They're magnified, crispified, shot through and through with bang-up nut-like flavor, too. That's why Quaker Popped Rice and Quaker Popped Wheat are so good to eat.
Well, doggone.
And for breakfast, lunch, or supper, all you do is pour out a bowlful right from the package. No cooking. Just add milk or cream and top with your favorite fruit.
Man, oh man, my appetite's waking up already.
And what's more, Quaker Puffed Rice and Wheat are nourishing for you lumberjacks and all hard-working, hard-playing folks. They furnish added food values of restored natural grain amounts of vitamin B1, niacin, and iron.
Say, I'll wake up pronto for this here Shot from Guns breakfast any day.
And that's a tip for you fellas and girls, too. Start your day every day with a bang-up breakfast of delicious, crisp, Quaker Popped Rice or Quaker Popped Wheat.
Now to continue. Joe LaRoche had packed his furs and readied the food supply he and his wife would need for their journey south to Whitehorse. It was now harnessing his team.
Joe!
At that moment, Joe's wife came to him.
Annie, why do you come here like this? You will catch cold.
Joe, you come. Men come. Me look outdoor. Me see men come. You look. You see men come. You see?
Huh?
Joe gazed in the direction of his wife's pointing finger. About a quarter of a mile away, he could see two men, their figures black against the virgin white background.
Sacre, what is this? Two men alone in such weather as this, without dog or sled.
Joe, see, one fall.
He fall all right. Annie, you go back to the cabin, make fire big. Cook fast some soup and meat.
Oui.
I go to these men who fall in snow. Henri, Jacques, all of you, we go after these men. Come on, you dogs, come on.
Joe LaRoche found Jack McDowell and Huff Davis and carried them back to his cabin. By some devilish miracle, they had survived a journey through snow and the terrible pangs of hunger. Joe and his wife revived the men, treating their numbed limbs and applying homemade medications. Then they fed them and gave them their beds in which to sleep.
Annie, it's lucky we find them before it's too late. We must see that they live. So we stay here for day or week until they are better, no?
You say, Joe, we stay.
Oh, I know you say that, Annie. We make them better and strong, you bet.
5 days passed. 5 days in which the constant care shown by Joe and his wife brought McDowell and Davis from the door of death to a now very animated life.
Oh, it's good to see you eat like that.
Are you sure you haven't got anything to drink around here?
Oh, I assure you, as I have done since you asked first yesterday, I have not. The wine I used to revive you was all I had.
Wine? You hear that, Jack? Who likes wine?
I assure you, messieurs, if it had not been for wine, you would not be alive to complain about it. I am sorry. I do not mean...
Ah, shut up. Maybe I'll have some more to eat after all. Hey, Annie, give me some more of that meat.
Annie, you stay there. Monsieur Davis, you will not speak to my wife like that.
What? Look, I'll speak to that squaw any way I want.
Think of it, dog. How dare you? You insult my wife.
I have him. Oh, sluggy.
McDowell threw his arms around Joe, holding him as Davis leaped from his chair.
That's it, Jack. Hold him. Hold him while I get a hunk of firewood.
No.
Let go of me.
I said slug him. He's breaking loose.
This'll do it.
McDowell stepped back and let Joe fall to the floor from the impact of a short piece of firewood.
Look at him, out cold.
For what you do to my Joe, I kill. Huh?
Hey, Jax, he's got a gun. Give me that. Get out of here.
Well, thanks, Huff. I didn't see her go for that gun. We'll leave them and take the furs. Joe said these furs are worth more than gold. We'll take them to Sitka and sell them. The buyers are in this time of the year. You heard Joe say that?
Yeah, but maybe you don't know something, Jack. About trapping and about selling the skins. Now, Monty's give you a license to do that. It's something you got to pay for.
Well, we'll get around that. I don't know much about furs, but I read where some trappers have agents to sell this stuff to the buyers. We're going to be agents for Joe LaRoche.
Huh?
You don't believe that, huh? You'll see when he comes to...
A few minutes later, when Joe LaRoche revived, McDowell stood over him with pointed gun. Joe looked past the menacing revolver to where Annie lay in the corner, bound hand and foot.
You monsters! What have you done to my wife?
Nothing yet. We'll do plenty if you refuse to do what we say.
Jack's talking the truth. We'll kill her. Unless...
Unless what?
Unless you write us a letter addressed to the Mounties saying we're your agents... And that you've given us a furs to sell for you in Sitka.
Messieurs, my wife is more dear to me than all the money in the world. Spare her, and I shall do as you say.
Joe LaRoche wrote a letter addressed to Canadian authorities, naming the two men as his selling agents, but using on their instructions false names instead of their true ones. When they had the letter, Joe was bound and gagged and placed in the corner of the cabin with his wife. A few minutes later, after the sled was filled with LaRoche's furs and the trapper's entire food supply, McDowell and Davis started south.
Come on, you mutts! Get yours!
Sergeant Preston, heading south, had passed Joe LaRoche's cabin a few miles to the west. And then a sudden thought came to him.
Hulking! Hi, you husky! Hello! Hey, boy!
He stopped his sled and spoke to King as if the dog were human.
King, I almost forgot. I promised Joe LaRoche I'd drop by his cabin on the way back to White Horse. Perhaps he's already gone, but if he hasn't, there's a chance he may have seen the men we're trailing. Tell you what, let's turn east by north and go there. Up front, boy.
All right, on King! On you!
Sergeant Preston and his team were halfway to the LaRoche cabin when suddenly King began to bark.
What is it, King?
The sergeant looked off to the northeast and saw a sled and dogs heading directly south. As he approached the oncoming team from an angle, he recognized the dogs as those of Joe LaRoche.
Oh, King! Hiya, Husky! Hello!
Jack McDowell and Huff Davis were alarmed when they saw the dog team approaching from the southwest. Now, as the man driving that sled stopped it and walked toward them, McDowell put his hand in the pocket of his parka and fingered the gun there. Preston spoke first.
Hello. I saw the dogs and thought for a moment that you were Joe LaRoche.
Oh, you did, eh? Well, you see we're not, don't you?
Those are Joe's dogs you're driving?
Yeah, they are. What about it?
What are you doing with them? Where's Joe?
What's it to you?
I'm asking a civil question, which I have a right to ask. Who are you two? I don't believe I know you.
Well, we don't want to know you. Now, get out of the way.
Yeah. You want to know who we are? This will show you.
Look out, Jack. Let down of my arm. Dog's biting my arm.
Not biting, just holding. I'll take that gun, mister.
Hey, now look
out. Get out of my way.
Get away, you mutt.
I said I'll take that gun. That's it. All right, King. Down, boy.
Look at what he did to the sleeve of my pocket.
Serves you right. Two of you stand together. You, get over here beside your partner.
Yeah, all right, I'm doing it.
I'm Sergeant Preston, Northwest Mounted Police.
Huh?
I'm looking for two men who left their shipmates to die on an island.
Say, are we glad?
Glad?
We didn't know who you were, Sergeant. We thought perhaps you were one of those two fellas.
What is this? How would you know about them?
Right, Joe LaRoche told us about them. They barged in on him a few days ago. They took some food from him and started out for 60 Mile.
Oh?
Pete, that's where they told him they were going, isn't it?
Huh? Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right, Ed. Said they were going to 60 Mile.
Now, you make it sound interesting, but let me see your identification.
Yeah. Sure. Be glad to. We just got here yesterday from White Horse. We're old friends of yours, acting as agents for them. Here's our letter of agency, you see.
Joe sent for us to come up and get us furs. That's why we have him here in his sled. His dogs, too. He made us use them.
Yeah, he made us use them. They're fresher than ours. We left ours at his place.
His wife is sick. That's why he sent for us. Huh, Ed?
That's right, Pete.
Let me finish reading this, please. Oh, I see. Pete Bradley and Ed Martin. That's your names, eh?
Yeah.
Fur agents from Sitka, are you?
That's right.
Well, you see what it says there in the letter, don't you?
Yes, I recognize Joe LaRoche's signature, too. You're handling all his seal, Martin, and Finch skins, it says here.
Yeah, he has a great collection of them.
Mind if I look at them?
Oh, no, go right ahead. Oh, open the canvas for him, man.
Well, sure. Take a look at him, Sergeant.
Thanks.
Sergeant Preston walked to the sled, placing the letter in his pocket with his left hand. He looked at the revolver in his right hand and pocketed that, too.
I'll not have to use this, I imagine.
Oh, no. It's funny how we thought you were one of those fellas you're looking for, isn't it?
Yes, isn't it?
Look at those furs. Nice, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yes, great. Those marten skins are the best I've seen.
Well, that's what we said, didn't we, Ed?
Just what we said, Pete. We ought to make a lot of money for Joe with these, huh, Sergeant?
Yes, you ought to. I like those Finch skins, too.
Yeah. Better than the marten, I think. Well, is everything all right now?
Yes, this letter's told me all I wanted to know.
Good.
Let me have it back then, eh? And my gun?
Here's the letter. Wait till I get the gun out of my pocket. Here you are.
Well, thanks, Sergeant. We'll be getting along. You coming, Pete?
Oh, sure, Ed. So long, Sergeant.
So long.
Preston watched both men rearrange the canvas and walk to the back of the sled. Backs turned to him. Then he called.
Just a minute, McDowell.
What is it?
Hey, he said McDowell.
And he answered. Gentlemen, your little game's up.
No, it's not. You forgot you gave me back my gun.
No, I didn't. Go ahead and shoot.
Yes, I am. You no good.
King, don't bother, boy. That gun isn't going to fire, McDowell. Huh? I removed the bullets while I had it in my pocket. This gun I have is loaded, though. Raise your hands, both of you.
Mine are up, they see.
Yeah, mine too. How did you know our names?
You answered to yours, McDowell. You see, I'd heard them before at Pelly. Your shipmates were rescued from the island where you left them a week after you took their boat.
Rescued?
I'll take you to Dawson instead of Whitehorse. That's where they've been sent by boat. They'll be waiting for you. As for the two Indians you murdered...
Oh, we didn't murder them. We just tied them and left them.
Then it was you. Thanks for telling me what I wanted to know. The charge will be murder because they both died.
Davis, you blabbering fool.
LaRoche knew you weren't fur experts. He made your capture an easy thing.
LaRoche did. How?
In that letter he wrote for you, he said you were his agent for selling seal, marten, and finch skins. The only skins on the sled were otter. And by the way, finch is a bird. I didn't see any bird pelts on the sled.
That double-crossing Frenchman. We should have killed him.
You didn't? I'm glad to hear that. We'll go back to his cabin, then. He'll make a good witness against you before they hang you.
How are we going back there?
You'll drive Joe's sled. I'll drive behind you, ready to shoot if you make a false move. And my dog, King, will see that you don't, too. Right, King?
I'd have shot you the first time if it wasn't for that dog.
You know, a lot of people have said that.
Those fellas from the ship. They'll kill us if they get near us. You won't let them, will you?
I'd like to, after knowing the crimes you two have committed. Hanging will be easy compared to what they might do to you. But my job is to hand you over to the authorities. After I've done that, as far as I'm concerned, this case is closed.
Sergeant Preston will return in just a moment with a word about our next exciting adventure.
All aboard for your best buy.
Yes, get aboard Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice for your best cereal buy.
All aboard for your best buy in flavor.
Every trip from the bowl to the lip gives your family one spoonful after another of the toasty, nut-like flavor of good natural grain. The sun-ripened natural flavor that Mother Nature put into it. Those premium grains of wheat and rice are never coated with factory sweetening. As you mothers well know, some of your family like their cereal not so sweet, some like it ever so sweet. And here is the beauty of Quaker Puffed Rice and Quaker Puffed Wheat. Your family can sweeten them with sugar to suit their own special taste. To enjoy the bang-up, toasty flavor of the ones shot from gum. Yes, they're exploded up to 8 times normal size to make them extra crisp and tender.
All aboard for your food value special.
You're on the right track for nourishment, too, when you get Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice. Because they give your family extra food values of restored natural grain amounts of vitamin B1, niacin, and iron. So at your store tomorrow, reach for the big red and blue packages with the sealed inner lining that keeps them crisp as can be. That's the original, the one and only Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice. For delightful breakfast treats the whole family enjoys. And now, here is Sergeant Preston.
Sergeant Preston reporting for duty, Inspector.
Sergeant, Dr. Tom Granite resigned from the force a few weeks ago. Now I've had word that he's committed a murder.
Well, that's incredible, sir.
Nevertheless, I must assign a man to bring him in.
I don't envy the man who draws the assignment.
The assignment is yours, Sergeant. If Tom Granite is guilty, he must be tried for murder.
As Sergeant Preston begins the manhunt for his friend, he faces one of the most difficult assignments of his career. In spite of the testimony of eyewitnesses, Preston believes the former policeman is innocent. Be sure to hear this next exciting adventure. These radio dramas, a feature of Sergeant Preston of the Yukon Incorporated, are created by George W. Trendle, produced by Trendle Campbell Enterprises, directed by Fred Flowerday, and edited by Fran Stryker. The part of Sergeant Preston is played by Paul Sutton. Sergeant Preston of the Yukon is brought to you every Tuesday and Thursday at this same time by Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice, the breakfast cereal shot from gum.
Hello, folks. This is your friend Aunt Jemima. Do you love pancakes? Golden, tender, light pancakes? Then try Aunt Jemima pancakes. You see, my Aunt Jemima pancake mix is now fluff whipped to give you the lightest pancakes ever, lighter even than homemade. Yes, Aunt Jemima pancakes are so light, they are digestible as toast. Try these extra light Aunt Jemima pancakes, piping hot and running with good butter and syrup. As the old song goes, what do most folks love to eat? Pancakes, pancakes. What kind are the biggest treat? Aunt Jemima's are. Aunt Jemima pancakes, extra, extra light. Easy to fix with my pancake mix. Have some this very night. Thank you, folks.
Listen tomorrow at this same time to The Green Hornet, brought to you by the drink that makes you feel fresh again, delicious Orange Crush. This is J. Michael wishing you goodbye, good luck, and good health from Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice. So long. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.